Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. For many weeks, we have been studying from the Epistle to the Romans. Now, this epistle, of course, is God's Word. It was written through Paul, but God inspired him and told him what he should write down. Therefore, this epistle, as in every other part of the Bible, this epistle carries authority. We are to obey it. We are to take it as from God Himself. We're to obey its teachings and to follow them with all our hearts. We have been considering various things from this book of Romans. The main section we finished studying was a section from chapter 118 to chapter 5, verse 21, where he discusses, first of all, why are all men lost? Why are all people lost? And second, he discusses how can a lost man be saved? In the section we're now studying, which began with chapter 6, verse 1, and goes over to chapter 8, verse 39, in this section he is studying how should a saved person live. In other words, what is God's standard for the life of this person? We began with a question in verse 1 of chapter 6, a question which actually began with a misunderstanding by these Roman Christians and by many others as well. And the misunderstanding was, under grace, because I am saved by grace and because God's grace is adequate for any sin in my life, therefore I am free to sin as I please. So chapter 6 is answering the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And I want to continue this idea today. From verses 1 to 14, he is answering this question, shall we continue in sin that grace may increase or abound? And of course the answer is no. And he discusses this in these 14 verses. I want to read today from the book of Romans, chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not, or do not permit sin, therefore, to reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I want to think today, again, as I've mentioned before, about our responsibilities in this new life under grace. What are our responsibilities? And what actions are we to take in our daily lives? Now, before I point it out to you, in fact, in the previous message, we pointed it out. Before we were saved, we lived under the power and the dominion of Satan. We don't like to express this, that any one of us would be guilty of this, but this is exactly where we stood before we were saved. Even the best of us, from a human standpoint, were under the dominion and the power of Satan. And this was a very important relationship because it was a relationship without hope. We were living among his people. It was a relationship without hope, without any guide for the future. It was a relationship that someday would bring upon us the wrath of God eternally. There are those who believe that there is another place where we could go after we die. In other words, if we're not going to heaven, there is a temporary place. The Bible teaches no such thing. There is no temporary place. When a person dies, if he is related to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to heaven. If he has trusted Christ as his Savior from sin, he will go to heaven. If he is not saved, if he has never trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior, he is going to hell. He will be forever condemned at the great white throne judgment of God. Now, in the Christian life, which we now have, because we have trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, in the Christian life now, we belong to the family of God. We're no longer in the family of Satan. Now, we belong to the family of God. We're enjoying all of his benefits, but we also accept the responsibilities of belonging to the family of God. Victory over sin and living in righteousness is not automatic, as some Christians seem to teach and assume that it will be. There are those who believe in what we call sinless perfection. There is no such thing. There is daily responsibility. I daily am going to be tempted to sin. In other words, things are not just all happy and all glad and things like that. No, the Christian is going to be tempted to sin. Now, I don't want to lay this on you as a burden, but I want to lay it upon you as a reality. We are tempted to sin, and there will be times when we're going to be tempted to sin, and we will sin. But as a Christian, we will not let that sin go on. In other words, we will take responsibility. Now, when a person sins and sins and sins and has no desire after God, I have before pointed out probably that person has never been saved. He is a professing Christian, but not a possessing Christian. He doesn't really possess salvation, because he's never in his heart really trusted the Lord Jesus. But every Christian, those who belong to the Lord Jesus, they will be tempted to sin. And they will have certain responsibilities in avoiding sin, and then, of course, confessing it if they do sin. The means of victory and a life of righteousness is present in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it wonderful that the very moment I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I was born again by the Spirit of God, according to John chapter 3. I was born again by the Spirit of God. John chapter 3, verses 3 to 7, and then in verse 16 through 18. He talks about this wonderful salvation when the Spirit regenerates me and I am born again by the Spirit. The other thing that's wonderful, however, is that the Spirit also comes to indwell the life of the believer. Now, to some, this is merely an emotional experience. This is not an emotional thing. This is something that's a reality. I may not feel the presence of the Spirit. But 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 tells me, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. That phrase, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, God has given you the means of victory and a life of righteousness. However, and this gets us to the point, we also have this tremendous, great responsibility before God. And I want to talk for a few moments about these areas of responsibility. If you want to look these up in your Bible, you might look, for instance, at Romans 12 through 15, Ephesians chapters 5 and 6, Galatians chapters 5 and 6, and Colossians chapters 3 and 4. These will tell you some of the very things that I want to point out to you now. First of all, he says in this passage, consider or reckon. In other words, take a look at your life and determine that we now belong to Him and that our lives are no longer to be lives of sin. I want to say very frankly, we need to remind ourselves of this constantly, continually, day by day. We need to remind ourselves of our relationship to the Lord, our relationship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this helps us to consider we don't belong in sin. In other words, sin is not to be the orientation of our lives. It's not to be the direction of our lives. If we're even tempted in this direction, we remind ourselves again, or we consider or reckon, he uses in the King James. We consider very deeply, and we recognize, I don't belong here, I'm not going to live here anymore. Now, this is a decision you have to make. Many young people are reluctant to make such a serious decision. But this is one of the first decisions we make in the Christian life. And that is, I don't belong in the realm of Satan anymore. And with God's help, the indwelling Holy Spirit in my life, with His help, I'm not going to live in Satan's realm anymore. The second thing is, we take action to not permit sin to reign in our lives. In other words, we're having to say no to sin. It's not just a decision of, I recognize I don't belong here anymore, but now it's a decision of not permitting. With His help, we take a stand against sin in our lives. We consciously refuse to obey it. Now, I want to be very clear about this. I cannot have victory over sin without the help of the Holy Spirit. So this is not giving praise to men when we say that we're not going to live in sin anymore. In Romans chapter 7, and we'll be studying this at a later time, in Romans chapter 7, this man tried to do it through his own self-effort. And he learned in Romans chapter 8 that you can only do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives victory over sin. He's not only the Spirit who is our teacher, our helper, our friend, our one who gives peace, one who gives joy, and so forth, but he's also one who empowers us to resist sin. So we do not permit sin to reign in our lives. In other words, we cast it out of our lives. And then number three, we don't go on yielding ourselves, we don't go on presenting ourselves to sin and to Satan as instruments of sin. Now this idea is also very, very clear. We are not helpless in this matter. In other words, we ourselves decide Satan is not going to rule in my life anymore. And this is a negative thing to some, but it does mean saying no to sin. I will not go to these evil places. I will not go with evil friends. I will not allow evil thoughts to live in my mind. When an evil thought comes, I will immediately confess it and deal with it and cast it out of my mind with the help of the Holy Spirit. I will not speak evil words anymore. I will not have evil feelings. I will not have evil attitudes. And of course, I will not have evil actions. In other words, it's a negative thing, but it's a very important negative thing. We simply decide that we are not going to yield, we are not going to present ourselves anymore as instruments of unrighteousness. Now, this takes discipline, but it's discipline the Holy Spirit empowers us to take. And when we take this discipline, we find we can have victory over sin. Now, I also want to note that this is a voluntary thing. God does not force us to take this step, but we ourselves voluntarily come to the Lord Jesus, trust Him as our Savior, we love Him in our hearts, we're devoted to Him, we're deeply grateful for all He has done for us, we are thankful to Him daily for all that He means to us, and now voluntarily we yield ourselves either to God and righteousness, or to Satan and sin. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, we're making decisions in our lives. People say, well, Satan overcame me. Don't talk nonsense to God. The Word of God tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit or suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide a means of escape that you may be able to bear it. When you sin, you have voluntarily decided you're going to. You're going to let that thought into your mind. You're going to let those words out of your mouth. You're going to let that feeling in your heart. You're going to let that anger well up within you. You're going to have bad attitudes and so forth. Well, this is a voluntary sin. Don't plead that, well, my friends tempted me, or my friends made me do it, or Satan somehow made me do it. You're talking nonsense to God. You don't talk nonsense to God. You voluntarily decide, it's my responsibility, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to go on in the Lord. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians 3, and I want to close with these suggestions. In Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, we find some phrases that are very important for us to remember. First of all, we find this phrase, do not permit it or do not let it. Let not, in other words. In other words, this is something we have to say. I'm not going to yield to this anymore. And then he uses the word proving. In other words, prove yourself. Prove where you stand in the Lord Jesus. By the stand you're taking, you're proving that you belong to the Lord Jesus, and you're taking a stand for righteousness. Then he uses the word walk. In other words, this is to be a daily thing. It's to be our daily life, in other words. It's our walk in life. We use this phrase in English. And so he uses this phrase in these two passages I've cited. Then he also says, put off. In other words, if there is an evil habit in your life, if you find yourself with evil thoughts, put them away from you. With the help of the Holy Spirit, put them off. Put them away from your life. In other words, I've said before, and I want to say again, I'm not going to go to those places anymore. I will not be tempted by these television programs anymore. I won't watch videos anymore. I should not watch. Whatever it might be, we are going to put off the things that are evil in our lives. And then we're to put on. In other words, there are righteous things we put on. God does not leave a void or a gap in our lives. Every time we put off something, there is something that God wants to fill our lives with that will thrill us and please God. In other words, it's not a burden to be a Christian. Don't think of the Christian life like this. It is a joy to belong to the Lord Jesus. It is a joy to live the Christian life. And so God will put into your lives things that are righteous. And then it says, let. And this means permit. In other words, permit God to do certain things in your lives. And then he uses a phrase, take. In other words, you're to take certain things, certain righteous things, certain things that are pleasing to God. And then he also uses the word stand. Now, there are many of these words. I don't want to go on and on with this anymore. But there are many of these action phrases that are used. And I think you'll also find some of these in the book of Galatians, chapters 5 and 6, if you were to search, especially the end of chapter 5 and then chapter 6. You'll find these also in Galatians as well as Ephesians and Colossians. So these are action words, and we Christians have responsibility, and this responsibility means I take action. I'm not going to live in the world of Satan anymore, and now I'm going to live for the Lord, and I'm going to honor him with my life. This is my prayer for you if you have truly trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that you will take a stand for God. You will take a stand for righteousness. This is what God expects and demands of you, and this is what he will help you to do. And may the Lord bless you, each one.